The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 14th day of November, 2021. And, boy, we have a big program tonight. Now, the title of this message is, Who Said I Wish to Avenge Myself Against the One That Rules Above? Who was it that said that? Well, we'll tell you a little bit later. But I was listening to one of the Fox News reporters on Veterans Day last week. And they were covering Trader Joe at Arlington at the grave of the unknown soldier. And this reporter was saying that this was the first Veterans Day in over 20 years that America was not at war. Well, folks, the truth is we are at war. We are in the most perilous war since the Civil War. We are in a battle for our freedom, our independence, and our very lives. Our enemy is the federal deep state government. That's right. The FBI, the IRS, the DHS, the AMA, the CIA, the CDC, the FDA, the DOJ, along with the Pentagon, have all been weaponized against us. They've all been weaponized. We don't have independent bureaus anymore the way it used to be. They have simply become a part of the deathocratic communist collective. Now, the very same tactics used by Hitler and Stalin to dupe the unsuspecting mass is being used to dupe the simple-minded of America today. Hitler used the trust that people had in the once legitimate medical establishment as a weapon against them. Obama knew that if he could just infiltrate the AMA and corrupt it from within, he, like Hitler, could destroy the America from within. He could turn doctors and nurses into executioners. Obamacare was a means by which he could take the morality and the ethics out of healthcare and replace it with socialized medicine. Now, all of this started long before Obama was even born, but Obama was the dark prince that accelerated the process. The enemy knew that they could never conquer America as long as she was united. So for over 100 years, like a sinister cancer growing in the education system, the enemy spread its roots of cultural Marxism to generation after generation Its goal was to divide and conquer. Now, here we've seen this happening today. It's been in every area. You know, if you go back especially to the so-called feminist movement, the anti-man movement, the anti-male movement, and here today you have the young people turn against the elderly. You've seen, you have the whites, or the blacks turned against the whites, what they're trying to do. They have, today, the rich turned against the poor, the elite, the democratic collective there. Communist Party, totally anti-Christian. They have become totally anti-Christian. And here now, and I was looking for one of my articles that I wanted to read, and I think I found it here. But especially now, with the vaxxed turned against the unvaxxed. This is no accident. This is, they're using this. They're trying to, again, pit, divide and conquer, divide and conquer. I want to take you back to something that we sent out probably over a million over the years, and that's for segments of the 45 current communist goals. And I want to take you back to when Russia was broken up, when the Soviet Union was broken up. There was this fellow named Yegor Gaidar. He was the premier of Russia at the time. And he said this: the Soviets have spent millions by infiltrating your media. Now, just because the Soviet Union collapsed, it doesn't mean these people all went away. No, they didn't. The communism was as thick as it is right now today. It's engulfed in PMSNBC, CNN, ABC, CBS. There's a mindset of the collective that there are two groups, those that serve and those that are to be served. And you've got the 2%, the collective, that head the collective, the so-called elite, communist elite there in all of these areas. Here, goals 20 and 21 were infiltrate the press, get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, policy making positions, gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. Well, this is exactly what they have done. And this is what I've been battling now for almost half a century. I have been battling the opposition out there, the so-called fake news media, and the so-called mainstream, I was going to say, but they aren't. They are fake. There are no journalists left out there at NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN. All you have, you actually have contracted liars that are actually contracted. Now, they don't use the word lie, okay, but that's exactly what they use. They've replaced the word lying with a narrative. Those that are contracted to go along with the narrative, whatever. In other words, they're saying, look, you're going to tell whatever lie we tell you to tell, but we're not going to call it a lie. We're going to call it the narrative. Here, Karl Marx said this: the meaning of peace is the absence of opposition to socialism. Does that sound familiar to you? That's basically what we've been hearing from AOC. And that's what we've been hearing from crazy Bernie Sanders. We've been hearing exactly that. Let me tell you that again. This is from Karl Marx. The meaning of peace is the absence of opposition to socialism. And that's been crazy Bernie's message, and that has been picked up by AOC and the squad. Goal 32 was this: support any socialist movement to give centralized control over any part of the culture, education, social agencies, welfare programs, mental health clinics, etc. And so, again, and this is exactly what was happening within the collective out here, the so-called Democratic Party. It is totally anti-American. It's totally anti-constitutional. And it is totally pro-communist. Here, Karl Marx said this: ideas are more powerful than guns. We would never let our enemy have guns. Why should we let them have ideas? Well, that's exactly what they want to stop here in America. Believe me, the whole idea, and they're going to push. They've tried time and time again. Their real problem is that Americans are not going to give up their guns. And if it falls out into the shooting war, the Democrats are not bulletproof either. They want to take away our freedoms, but they're not willing to do it at the risk of losing their own nasty hides. But they do definitely want to take away our freedoms. Now, he says, again, ideas are more powerful than guns. Now, they don't want us to have ideas either. If you don't go along with what the collective says on these college campuses, you're told you don't have a voice. You're told to shut up. They don't want to hear. If you disagree with whatever the collective, the woke mob says, they try to shut you down. Or you have the cancel culture trying to cancel people like me continuously. Goal 39, dominate the psychiatric profession and use mental health laws as a means of gaining coercive control over those who oppose communist goals. In other words, here now, it's an interesting thing, the psychiatric profession. They were intimidated by the sodomites. The sodomites showed up at their offices, they showed up at their convention, and they intimidated them. See, they used to be, at some point, there was a point where some of these psychiatrists felt led to tell the truth. But you won't see that anymore. It's very rare when it happens at all. Because the sodomites, the LGBT, that the lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers, showed up and intimidated them and scared them. And so what did they do? They tucked tails like a whipped dog. And they submitted. They submitted to the tyranny like cowards. And I found it's an interesting thing. Out of all professions, the idea, you know, and I laugh because people that tend to be suicidal, especially Vietnam vets nowadays, and they're brought in to see these psychiatrists. And the psychiatrist is supposed to be the ones that to tell you why you shouldn't commit suicide. I mean, that was their job, to keep you. But I find it interesting to find out that the one profession that's got by far, the highest rate of suicide is psychiatrist. Wouldn't you say that's kind of like asking a blind man to teach you how to see good, right? Here's what Al Sharpton said. We don't owe America anything. America owes us. Al, America owes you nothing. But I'll tell you what, you owe America an apology. You owe America an apology for all of your race baiting and your apostasy, to call yourself reverend, someone that takes money from Planned Parenthood for killing babies, someone who embraces all of the sin, and someone tells the lies that you've told on people. You're a race baiter, Al Sharpton, and that's all you are. You're a cheap con man. Goal 30, discredit the American founding fathers, present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man. Let me read that again. Discredit the American founding fathers. Present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man. That's exactly what the woke movement, what burn, loot, and murder and Antifa have been doing. These are the orders coming from the top of the collective. This is the Antichrist world system. The Antichrist world system. Burn, loot, and murder, which is called Black Lives Matter and Antifa, and the entire Deathocratic collective are Antichrist. They hate God, and they hate God's children. They hate Christians, and that's a reality, folks. Here, Wesley Clark, whose real name is Wesley Cain. Do you remember him? He came out and said, life begins with a woman's decision. No, it doesn't, Wesley. God had made the decision. God decides. And God says there's a life there already. It's already begun. And woe unto people like you, Wesley, that snuff that life out, that transgress God's dominion. Oh, God made it very clear when he gave us the 5 points of the divine human government. And the third point, Wesley, was in Genesis chapter 9, verses 5 through 7. God had given man dominion over the environment. God kept man, dominion of man for himself. So when your people killed the babies, Wesley Clark, they're transgressing God's dominion. And don't think God doesn't know it. He's watching. And I'm going to tell you, he may be long-suffering, but he's not slack. When the judgment comes, you're going to get the full 9 yards. You better be ready. Janet Reno says, waiting periods are only a step. Registration is only a step. The prohibition of private firearms is the goal. Well, we've told people that from the very beginning. Joseph Stalin said, state-controlled education is a weapon where effort depends on who holds it in his hands and at whom it is aimed. This is why you've been watching what's been taking place. These National School Board Association have been building files, portfolios, if you will, on parents who care for their children, even using their Social Security numbers, to hand over all of this stuff to the weaponized FBI. It's weaponized against the American people. This is the communist collective, and I'm going to once again tell you FBI agents out there, you better listen to me, because I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be a coming up. If you took that oath when you were sworn in to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America, and you betrayed God and your country, and you turned upon God's people, and you've done that. You've turned upon the patriots. So I'm telling you FBI agents out there, the ones that have not totally sold America out, you better listen. There's the doctrine of the lesser magistrate, which is taught from cover to cover in God's Word, the Bible. When those above you give you the order to betray God and country and our Constitution, don't you do it. You obey God and not those corrupt officials in the FBI. Believe me, they're going to get what they've done in darkness will be brought to light. There's going to be a turnaround. And people are really fed up. They're really fed up with the corruption. They're really fed up with dirty cops. So those of you that have not gone dirty, don't do it. Don't go dirty. Do what you said you would do. obey God, the Constitution, and the American people that pay your salary. Vladimir Lenin said, a system of licensing and registration is the perfect device to deny gun ownership to the bourgeoisie. That's you and I, folks. They wanted to deny us the right to own a firearm and protect ourselves. Comrade Henry Waxman said, if someone is so fearful that they're going to start using their weapons to protect their rights, it makes me very nervous that these people have weapons. I can understand why. There come a point when you've pushed too far and the American people will stand and fight back. Karl Marx said, everything that exists deserves to perish. Bill Clinton said, there are a lot of very brilliant people who believe that the nation state is fast becoming a relic of the past. I don't think it's so brilliant. Remember Jane Fonda? Jane Fonda said, I would think that if you understood what communism was, you would hope that you would pray on your knees and you would someday, that you would someday become a communist. It was an interesting thing. I heard Fonda say that had she known that she could become a Christian and still stay a communist, she would have become a Christian long ago. Do you understand what that? This woman is so confused. So confused. She thinks that she can make a profession of faith and still hold to the killing of unborn children, and everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls a sin, as long as she's welcome to come to some apostate church, some apostate Antichrist church. And so she can say that she's a Christian when she's the farthest thing from Christian. She's Antichrist. Nikita Khrushchev said, we cannot expect the Americans to jump from capitalism to communism, but we can assist their elected leaders in giving Americans small doses of socialism until they suddenly awake to find they are communists. Well, see, that's what's happened to the entire Democratic Communist Party. There is no longer a Democratic Party. It has become the Democratic Communist Party. It's as communist gets. Jesse Jackson said, hey, hey, ho, ho, the Western civilization has got to go. I remember when Jesse was running for president, the bumper stickers, you saw them everywhere. That said, run, Jesse, run, except for they were on the front of the cars, not the back. Yeah, quotes from the Red Aggressive Communist Party. I believe he's dead now, but that Michael Swift once said, we shall sodomize your sons, emblems of your feeble masculinity, your shallow dreams and your vulgar lies. We shall seduce them in your schools and youth groups and movie theaters and bathrooms. Wherever men are men together, your sons will become our minions and do our bidding. They will be recant in our image. They will come to praise us and adore us. Goals 25 and 26 of the 45 current communist goals. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, TV. Present sodomy and degeneracy and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. And boy, have they done that. You've seen what's happened in some of these school board meetings, where the parents have come out and they brought the books that their children were given and told not to let their parents see. And in it, raw pornography that they were giving these children, raw pornography. John Dunphy, a communist, has said in Religion for a New Age Humanist magazine, the classroom must and will become an arena of conflict between the old and the new, and the rotting corpse of Christianity, together with all its adjudant evils and misery, and the new face of communism. Goal 17 of the 45 current communist goals: get control of the schools, use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda, soften the curriculum, get control of the teachers' associations, put the party line in textbooks. That's exactly what they've done. But praise the good Lord above, the parents are finally starting to stand up and fight back. It's been long overdue, and for almost a half a century, this pastor here has been warning people. If you love your children, get them out of the public schools. They're nothing but hotbeds of cultural Marxism. I can't tell you how many mothers had called me. They felt compelled to call me and tell me, crying, how they wished they had listened. Wish they had listened in the early days when I was saying that. A lot of them thought that I was just well overboard. But had they listened and not put their kids into public schools and not put them in public universities, because so many of these children, they took all their faith out of them and turned them against their parents. I can't believe how many times the parents tell me, not only do they not see their adult children now, but they're not even allowed to see their grandchildren. Why? Because they don't want their grandchildren to hear about Jesus Christ or Christianity. Oh, this is a good one. Peter Singer, bioethics at Princeton University. This guy was in charge of the ethics department. Can you believe this? This guy, Peter Singer. Here's what he said. Christianity is our foe. If animal rights are to succeed, we must destroy the Judeo-Christian religious traditions. Now, folks, here's a guy that thought that parents should have the right up to 4 years of age to decide whether or not to keep their children after they're born. And they should be able to kill them up to the age of four, with this brilliant mindset. He's also the one that said that it should be morally acceptable, bestiality is morally acceptable, as long as it's consensual. I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. In other words, if you were to talk to your cow or your horse or your kangaroo or whatever, and you had a little talk and you ask them, do you mind if we, get it on together? And the kangaroo or the goat or whatever tells you, sure, I'm all for it, then it's morally acceptable. I am not kidding you. This is what this wacko said. Now, with the exception, though he did make an exception, he said that would not apply to chickens, because chickens having sex with humans, it could be fatal for a chicken. Kind of wonder how he knows that. Here, goals 27 and 28. Infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. Eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the grounds that it violates principle or separation of church and state. Here's another Bill Clinton one. Bill Clinton says, If the personal freedom guaranteed by the Constitution inhibits the people, we should look to limit these guarantees. In other words, Billy's telling you maybe we have too many freedoms, right? Goals 29 through 33. Discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, and out of step with modern needs. A hindrance to the cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. Eliminate all laws or procedures would interfere with the operation of the communist apparatus. Hillary Clinton. We must stop thinking of the individual and start thinking about what is best for the collective. Goals 41 and 42. Emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. Attribute prejudices, mental blocks, and retarding of the children to suppressive influence of parents. Create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of the American tradition. That students and special interest groups should rise up and use united force to solve economic, political, and social problems. There goes Antifa. And burn, loot, and murder. And the entire Deathocratic collective. I want to turn now here over to Ephesians chapter 6. And in Ephesians chapter 6, we read this, verses 10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, he gives you four very distinct levels of authority that we wrestle against here. Now, first of all, let's go back and take a look at the wiles. What does he mean by wiles? Well, wiles are tactics or schemes of the enemy. But what about principalities? Well, another word for that there is magistrate. So he's talking about when you struggle against principalities, he's talking about maybe a local judge or a local police chief or even a local zoning inspector or something of on a local level as a magistrate. But then he says, and powers. Now, that bumps it up when he's referring to there up to like a state level against powers, you know. In other words, maybe a governor or an attorney general or something on a state level or maybe a state court. And then he goes to rulers of darkness. Now, the rulers of darkness would bump that up to national, like if you looked at the United Nations or the World Health Organization or even countries like China or today America, this is on a national or an international basis he's referring to. And then we go to the place where they're, all of them are getting their authority, where all of them are getting, now you shouldn't say authority because they really don't have authority, but where they're getting their power. And that's on high places, in high places. That is demonic. It's spiritual. It moves to a spiritual plane. It's demonic or satanic. The dark forces that are out there today. And we're seeing more and more of these dark forces rising. Satanism, witchcraft, sacrificing of children. All of the dark, wicked things are rising in this corrupted society that we live in today. I want to turn over to 1 John chapter 3. in 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Now, this is why we have confidence. The Lord Jesus said he will bring the victory with him. Okay, if you are truly a born-again Christian, the last thing you should fear is death. Because what happens is, when we leave this world, once we die, and we enter into eternity, we'll be living forever. And so, the worst thing the opposition can do if they kill us, they just send us home early. But they can't do that unless God allows it. God is on the throne. God is in complete, total power and authority. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him is purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now, I'm going to have to just step away from the mic for a minute here, because this is the third time I've preached this message today, and I'm kind of losing my voice. And I think I can reach down, and I have kept a little, yep, I got one here, a little bottle here of tonic water. And one swig. Oh, that feels good. I've kind of got a parched throat, but now I think my voice is coming back with just one swig. Anyhow, so here, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Here, folks, this very first verse tells us who we are. We're a member of God's family. We're the sons of God. Do you understand that? We're the sons of God. A lot of people don't, you know, Christians don't really, it doesn't really dawn, it doesn't sink in. But that means that our daddy owns the universe, folks. He goes on to say, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not a year what we shall be, does not appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for he shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purify himself even as he is pure. So here, as believers, our self-worth is based on the fact that God loves us and calls us his children. We are his children now. And just think about that here. What is our goal? Well, our goal, the Christian life, is a process of becoming more and more Christ-like. That's what we are to do. Now, again, here, you know, often people base their self-worth on, you know, what they've accomplished in the past. You know, whether it's they've built bridges or big buildings or become wealthy or, but it's not. See, all of those things one day will be gone and they won't even be remembered. But what you have done for the Lord, what you have done in God's work, and you apply that to your self-worth. Well, it's a whole different story, which lasts forever. Here, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God hath not committed sin, for his seed remained in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither is he that loveth not his brother. Now, here. What does it say? So, I don't know, Pastor. I'm kind of confused now, because I know right over here in another passage it says that all have sinned. And if we say we don't sin, we're liars and there's no truth in us. What's going on? Well, there is a difference in committing sin and continuing in sin. Believers, those that are covered by the blood of, have had their sins past, taken away, past, present, and future, have been forgiven. Now, of course, repentance is required by believers. And so you say, well, let's see if I got this straight. Well, once you've been born again, your sins have been removed. They're gone. Past, present, and future, they're gone. Now, you say, but what does it say if we sin? Well, if you transgress God's laws, if you're a believer, you repent of that. That's what believers will repent of that, if you do that. And what happens is, again, if you continue in practicing that sin, you see, he tells you pretty good over there in Hebrews chapter 12. There's consequences to sin. And if you actually are a believer, actually are saved, and you behave yourself in a manner that brings dishonor to God, first of all, God says the chastisement will be of the scourging. In other words, God will bring very severe chastisement to you. Or he might just remove you, one, for his sake, for his glory and honor, but two, so that you don't keep destroying all whatever crowns you had in heaven. He'll take you out of this world early. Well, you see, for the unbeliever, those that have not been saved, about everything they do is going to be sin. They're going to be in violation of God's laws. And by the way, folks, the definition of sin is the transgression of God's laws. And so here now, what is he saying? He's saying, here, he says, we all have areas, again, what we're talking about, where the temptation is strong, and habits, you know, are very hard to conquer. But those weaknesses will give Satan kind of a foothold. So we must deal with them, and we are struggling with a particular sin. However, these verses are not directed to us, even as if for the time we seem to be keep on sinning. John is not talking about people whose victories are still incomplete. He's talking about people who make a practice of sinning, and look for ways to justify it. And that's what he's referring to. Now, I want to go over here to Hebrews chapter 2. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and the blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that though that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. In other words, he's saying simply this, that Jesus had to become flesh and blood in order to destroy the devil's power over death. He had to live a perfect life, a sinless life, in human flesh, then to win power over death. He had to raise himself once he was crucified from the death. When he did that, death and hell were defeated. And because he did that, that was a substitutionary death for all of us who call upon his name. That means that death and hell is defeated for us too. I want to go over now to Matthew 16. And in Matthew chapter 16, now here we're talking about a couple things, but the main point is that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. But starting in verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, now I want you to understand something, folks, because here, there are those that teach that the church was built upon Peter. Well, that can't be. You can't build a living church upon a dead man. Peter died and was never resurrected. He's a dead man. And so I want you to pay close attention, because we're going to, as we go through these verses, okay, is the question being asked here? What is the question? What does it deal with? The subject deals with, and we'll see there in just 1 minute. First, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea and Philippi, he asked the disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, what is the question? The identity of Christ. The identity, what are we dealing with? The identity of Christ. And they said, some say that they are all, that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So of course, some of the people believe that Jesus was the great prophet that spoken of in Deuteronomy 18:18, where God said he would raise up a prophet from among his people. So here, Jesus says, he saith unto them, but whom say you that I am? Now, Peter's got it. Peter's on to it. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Christ means the Redeemer, the Savior, the Deliverer. Now, okay, but what was the subject? The subject, again, was the identity of Christ, the identity of Christ. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. Revealed what? The identity of Christ. The identity of Christ. Well, the whole subject here is talking about the identity of Christ. But my Father which is in heaven, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He says, you are Peter. Now, that word Petros, or a stone there, okay, and Jesus referred to Peter there in other passages as a stone. But this is another subject, too, we can get into, okay, here. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the rock was the fact that the Petra was the fact that he was the Christ. See, remember, five verses all about the identity of Christ. And he was telling Peter on the fact that he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Deliverer. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The rock was the fact that Christ was the Messiah. And I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever... Now, here, this is interesting. Because, see, this has been predetermined already, predetermined. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So it was predetermined what would be bound. It was predetermined what should be loose. So that might be better said, that whatsoever has been determined, that's what you're going to bind, and that's what you're going to lose. And then it goes on to say, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. I want to go now over to John chapter 1 very quickly, just to some verses 40 through 42. Now one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now with that, I want to go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 3 through, no, wrong chapter, verses 4 through 10. Okay, I'll find it in a minute. To whom, coming as into living stones, disallowed, indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also are lively stones that are built up. Now this is Peter talking about the church. Built up a spiritual house as a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have been obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Well, Peter, those listening to Peter at the time, remember the very first converts in the early church were all Jews. And Peter's Jewish listeners, their readers, would understand Peter to be speaking of Israel in Psalm 118, verse 22, or Psalm 8, 14. And now they see that the church fulfilled the Jewish heritage. You know, people often, again, we talked about this early, they judge or they gauge their worth by what they have, you know, what they've achieved in their life's work or performances. Peter, again, here is telling us the same thing, that our relationship with Christ is much more important than our jobs or our professions or our wealth or our success. Our value comes from being one of God's children. So think about that, folks. And then I wanted to, well, I did have a little segment very quickly to read here. This is out of Karl, the book Marx and Satan by Richard Wurmbrand. Karl Marx, like Stalin and the others, and like those today in the White House, there are many, many practicing Satanists out there. And I just want to give you a little bit of what Satan said when they have the satanic masses, some of the words that are repeated. The Holy One the one most high. Ha! Not for long. Pretty soon it will be I. All the countries you see, I put my traps, waiting for the boot to collapse. Money and numbers and power of hate. These are the things which also I relate. Numbers of people, so many, each one and small. And then, with so much money, the small are tall. But anyhow, I want to finish tonight very quickly by going over to Revelation. And the book of Revelation 20:7-10. And when the 1,000 years expire, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. Now, they will be two, these represent two nations of bodies of people, many, many people, together them to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and they compassed the campus of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are. And he shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Well, when he was cast into outer darkness, but he was allowed, God brought him out for one last battle. But once he's in the lake of fire, that's where he stays. And folks, you know what? Where Satan is, and all of these people that we try to witness to, the Antichrist, those that laugh and they mock God, and we keep telling them over and over, you know, repent or perish, repent or perish, and we tell them over and over. And if you're listening to me tonight and you have not received Christ as your Savior, you may be running out of time, because that's going to happen tonight all over this world. Thousands of people are going to run out of tomorrows. That will happen. You don't want to be one of them. Most all of those people have no intentions of dying, but you see, their soul will be required of them. So if you have not received Christ as your Savior, this may be last call. You pray to the Father, ask for forgiveness of your sins. Pray to Him and mean it. Ask for forgiveness of sins. Then ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations. And if you do that, you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, and you will be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And you've got God's word on it, and no one has ever regretted receiving eternal life. And I know I'm just up against the clock. How much time do I have there?
1 minute.
Okay, and so here, again, folks, this could be the last call. I hope out there, if you're listening to me, now, if you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, then now is the time to run to the battle. This is, God has raised you up for this time. And this is where you place up your crowns in heaven. This is it. You get one chance at this. This life is it. And you don't want to miss it. What you want to do is you want to, you know, the Lord held back nothing for us upon that cross, and you want to hold back nothing for Him. You want to give it all that you got, every little bit. Well, we're out of time for tonight. So, as we do this at this time every night, we say good night. God bless, and always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.